Good morning. It's time for our hymn sing. So anyone with a favorite they would like to suggest? 696, 1 and 2. Let's see what we have here. America the Beautiful. All right. 1 and 2. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Because he lives. 1 and 3. God sent his son.
there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Time for one more quick one. 347. Spirit song.
Satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness. Give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
Thank you. We'll now continue with our service.
Thank you, Colleen. Welcome to the United Methodist Church, House of Faith. Glad to have you here this morning, kind of a misty morning, nice and cool. We want to welcome any guests that we might have today, too, and ask everyone to sign the red pew pads that are no longer there, but are now the little pieces of paper that you put into the basket at the end of the aisle. So, also, we want to invite everyone across the hall to the breezeway to join us for fellowship after the service and the chosen after that. Got announcements. We are the Cereal Church, and if you would like to donate some cereal or any other things, it could all be used, and we bring them to the ICSC at the end of the month, so they can be distributed. Chosen is the last one today. I'm sad. It's been very good, very good. And it's at 11 o'clock in the Camellia Room. Please join us. The July newsletter is available in the Narthex. And if you would like to get it online, you can do that too. Just sign up through the office. They'd be more than happy to email that to you. It's always good to read. And happy June birthdays. Dina Barwick, Dan Anderson, Mick Gibson, Lynn Stiff, June Fisher, Joan Fox, Stephen Mickle, Linda Wynn, and Marlene Humphreys. Happy birthday to you all. Oh, we still have more. Alita Kirker, David.
That's July.
Oh, that's July.
We can maybe sing happy birthday for them, you know, the band.
So who did I read? Did I just read the June ones?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well, it was there. So happy birthday to Alita Kirker, David Moore, Tracy Brown, Linda Crabtree, Perry Way, Ruthie Martin Moore, and Young Char. And if we would like to sing happy birthday, let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Pardon? Somebody talking to me? Oh, okay. The Friday movie is the first Saturday of the month, which happens to be 4th of July, but we're having the movie anyway. It's called Sight, and it's based on a true story of a Chinese eye surgeon. And it's supposedly a very good movie. Hope you can attend. And next, the pastor's luncheon is on July 8th at noon at Legend China 8. Cost is $15. Sign up at the script table. It's always a good time. Lots of fellowship. And don't let your giving go on vacation this summer. Our church still has expenses over the summer months, so please give faithfully. We know you do. We love you. And if you would join me now in the call to worship, standing if you are able. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from the heavens and gives you life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread and that came down from the heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give life of the world. Our first hymn today is When the Morning Gilds the Skies, 185, verses 1 and 3. Time to have the passing of the peace. Happy birthday, Alita. Yeah.
Okay, so let's try this one.
That's better.
Okay, that's on. Good morning to you all. So love to have you worship with us on Zoom. Welcome to you, Alicia and Destiny. And good morning to you, Bill and April. Good morning to Chris and June. And always, I love to have you on iPad. iPad 132. Welcome.
Very faithful.
Very faithful. Yes. And welcome to Carol and Mike.
Now, if you have any joys or concerns, please raise your hand and Deb will bring the mic to you.
Thank you very much. I want to celebrate first that we had a really fun parents' night out. I hope you get to look at the pictures on the announcements and in the newsletter, but we had a lot of fun. We had a campfire out here, and they roasted hot dogs and marshmallows and made s'mores, and then we had ghost stories in the tent, and it was a lot of fun.
Good morning. This will be real short. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 2 days from now, will be my son's last day at work for the Department of the Navy. He's retiring.
All right.
Yeah. And they aren't classified, but one of his things that he's responsible for is if a friendly nation wants that particular missile system, he decides whether they're smart enough to do it or not. And he's got some real funny stories that aren't classified. So, yeah, but he's ready.
Thanks, Ron. Is our nation going to be still safe without him?
Good morning, Judith Thompson here. Over the past year and a half or so, I've asked for prayers several times for Jane Porter, sister-in-law of my best friend, living in Houston. She was injured. I will not go through all of that. But she has been in a facility for close to a year now, and it looks like that's where she's going to stay. But she has healed very well. She's just left with some residual stuff from head injuries, and she's safer where she is, and she is very happy where she is. And that, to me, is most important. I really don't know this lady well, but I know my best friend, and they take her out to lunch. And yesterday, I get a Facebook saying, oh, we're going out for dessert. And I can't go. But I just am so grateful for all the prayers and everything for her. And please continue prayers for her. I want her continued happiness, because at this point, I think that's the best thing. She's functioning very well, but has balance and dizziness issues. So, thank you.
And I'm just going to say that Susan told me Charles was honored last week or a few days ago for being a continuous member of the Elks Club for 76 years.
Oh, wow.
And the probably longest one other. So I just want to give a call out to Charles for being such an amazing man and a role model for all of us.
Good morning, I'm Pat Shores. I didn't make it to church last week, and it was Father's Day, and I felt really bad about that, because I was going to tell you what a great father I had, and I'll tell you today, I really had a great father. He was very involved with the church. My sister Jean, who was she's the one that died this past fall, but she was 4 years older than I am, and one time I asked her, I said, well, how did you get so religious and everything? And she looked at me like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, you seem so involved. And she says, well, Daddy. And I said, what do you mean, Daddy? And she said, well, he was my Sunday school teacher for a year. And then the next year, he went with our class and taught Sunday school for me again for another year. He said, he brought the Bible to, you know, everything about it. He just knew everything, and he taught us everything about the Bible. He made it so interesting. And I got thinking, well, gosh, I wished I'd had my dad for a teacher, because the teacher I had no control of the class. The girls sat and talked about the clothes they were going to wear and the boys they liked the best. And I just hated going to Sunday school, but my folks said, you go to Sunday school, well, we go to church. So I did. And I was so jealous when I found out that Gene had a really good teacher, and it turned out to have been my dad.
Well, your dad must have taught you something, because you are faithful.
If I'm not mistaken, if Pat has shared with me the correct information, she is the one of the longest, if not the longest, member of the church.
Is there anyone on Zoom that would like to share a joy or concern? Please raise your hand and unmute. Okay. Yeah, most of them are blacked out. Excuse me. If you'll join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you have sent us to reach those lost within your fold. They hunger and thirst for their souls, unaware that only you can fulfill their deepest desires. Help us listen to their cries with compassion and proclaim that you are the living bread come down from heaven. Make us faithful witnesses, joyfully nourish every weary spirit, and quench every thirsty soul with your truth. For your name's sake. Amen. Let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer, in silence, remembering all the loved ones whom God has placed in our life circle. We want to lift our prayers for them, and also for the prayers that we have for ourselves that we may not be able to share with others. We can speak to the Lord at this time, and we want to continue to pray for our church and all the churches around the world, and for the great spiritual awakening, and for our nation.
Lord, we come and stand before you. For we know that you know everything about us. You know where we are in life. You know where we are headed. You know our need. Even the smallest need that we have, people may not know. Even the closest one to us may not know, but you do. So, Lord, we open our hearts unto you, open our lives unto you. There's nothing we can hide from you and from your presence. So we can be honest as we come to you at this hour of prayer. You know our thoughts. You know the plan that we have for ourselves. It may be different from the plan that you have for us. You know everything about us altogether. So, Lord, we give the troubles, the worries that we've been carrying by ourselves, because you are ready to reach out unto us with your mighty hand and touch our hearts, touch our lives like no one can, and change us, change our life circumstances. So this prayer is our act of trust in your presence, in your loving care that you have available for us. Receive us, O Lord, and empower us once more with your Holy Spirit, that we may gain strength to continue on, even though we feel weary in our step. You can hold us up in your loving arms and carry us on. So show us, O Lord, your love, and give us the power that we need to move on, because our life belongs to you, O Lord. As long as we live on this earth, we will give our very best to do your will, to bring glory unto your name. That when the day comes, when you send your angels to receive us into your kingdom, we will be ready to go. But while we are here on this earth, O Lord, continue to use us that we may share your love, that we may proclaim your word, so that the people that you have placed in our life may know your love and may hear your truth and be transformed. We ask you to bless us as we worship together and restore the joy of salvation, joy of living in our hearts and in our lives, that we may celebrate our life in you. So, Lord, we once more acknowledge our life belongs to you. You have plans for us. As you have guided our life this far, you will continue on guiding our step that we may fulfill your will. So now we now join our hearts in prayer, praying together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn would be, will be, I'd rather have Jesus. It's the insert in your bulletin. Scripture reading today is from Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the judgment of nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats to his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accused, depart from me into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Bless you.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. Many of you may wonder what happened to the annual conference and what the bishop said to me. Something not surprising, bishop has said for the last 12 years, for the last 12 consecutive years, that you guys are stuck with me for another year. Well, not a surprise. Well, thank you. And I've been telling her that I'll be dead by then. But anyway, personally, it's exciting. What else can I say? People now quote me that I'm 29 years old, and when I said that I've been in ministry a lot longer than that, they are confused. But anyway, all the churches that I have served, I haven't seen any church without any problem. So what if I begin a new church at this age? I'm sure I'm going to have some headache to begin a new ministry, and I surely do not want to do that. So I'm happy to come back for my 12th year here in Yucaipa. And if you would tolerate with me for another year, you might have a chance next year. So be patient for one more year. I am grateful that I will be able to stand here before you and share the messages that God has placed in my heart. And I pray that each of us will be able to hear the word of God that God wants us to hear this morning. A doctor told a wealthy old man, if you don't get a heart transplant soon, you won't be around long. Then find me the best heart money can buy, said the old man. And don't worry about the price. Few days later, the doctor returned. I have located 3 donor hearts, he said. They are all available. but they aren't cheap. The doctor, the old man replied, I am richer than my relatives think I am. Tell me about them. Well, the first heart belonged to a 33-year-old marathon runner. Never smoked, ate organic food, exercised every day. He was in perfect condition when a bus hit him. That heart caused $99,999.99. Interesting. What's the second one? The second one belonged to a 20-year-old champion swimmer, excellent health, tragic accident. That one is $222,222.22. The old man nodded. What? And the third? The doctor glanced at his chart. The third belonged to a 62-year-old man who smoked 3 packs a day, never exercised, and drank like a fish. And how much is that one? $1 million flat. The old man nearly fell out of his chair. $1 million? Why on earth is that one so expensive? Doctor smiled. His heart was never used because it belonged to a lawyer. It was a lawyer's joke. Is there a vital mission or ministry that we as believers and the church have overlooked because our hearts haven't been stirred to recognize it, like the spiritual responsibility we have as believers in Jesus? This term spiritual responsibility may not be familiar with us, but there is such a thing as spiritual responsibility. I have spiritual responsibility for the congregation. This church has spiritual responsibility for the community. And parents have spiritual responsibility for their children. It's not like, you know, you just raise them up, sponsor them to finish the school, and support them until they become independent. Your spiritual responsibility as parents still continues. You gotta pray for them, and whenever you have a chance, you got to share the love of Christ with them. According to Jesus' teaching this morning, the world is hungry and longing for the Word of God. Jesus commissioned us to feed hungry souls with the living bread of God. Therefore, the churches and believers are responsible for preaching and teaching the Bible and the message of salvation. Matthew chapters 24 and 25 are dedicated to what will happen when Jesus returns, beginning with the signs of the end times and ending with the parable of the sheep and the goat, which is this morning's gospel reading. When Jesus returns, he will separate people as a shepherd separate the sheep from the goats. To the people of the sheep, Jesus will say, "You fed me when I was hungry and gave me a drink when I was thirsty." The people will reply, "When did we see you hungry and thirsty and feed you?" Jesus will answer, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then turning to the people of the goats, Jesus will say, "I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink." They will reply, "We did not see you hungry and thirsty." Jesus will answer, "Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Certainly, Jesus was very serious about feeding, and he would decide who belonged to the sheep pen and who to the goat's pen solely on the basis of feeding. What does this provision of food and drink pertain to? if it meant the physical feeding of the poor, churches and believers should devote all their efforts to running soup kitchens 7 days a week. Jesus would punish us eternally if we do not take care of physical hunger. But that does not exactly align with what the Bible says about how we are saved. Our merit of good deeds does not suffice for the condition of salvation, but only God's grace through faith. Then what kind of feeding was Jesus referring to? Let us not confuse it with a physical feeding, as some do. Eradicating physical hunger is a great Christian virtue, but the food Jesus points to is spiritual food and spiritual drink, without which the least of the brothers and sisters of Christ are famished and perished. This agrees with what the prophet Amos spoke of, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Feeding them with the word of God is so critical that Jesus will settle account with his followers on that basis. If the followers do not feed them with spiritual food, Jesus will put them in the group of goats. The feeding is a different expression of the Great Commission. Until Jesus' return, we are called to the feeding ministry to eradicate spiritual hunger in the world. Remember, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples in Galilee and reinstated Peter. Jesus asked Peter 3 times whether he loved him. Each time Peter answered yes, Jesus said, "Peter, feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." After the ascension, Peter became the head of the Jerusalem church. And as the head pastor, Peter was given the task of feeding the flock with the word of God. This goes the same with every pastor. I am responsible to feed the people in my parish with God's word, as it is written, not my own philosophy or thoughts. Every believer is also responsible to preach the word in the same way. Now, who are the least brothers and sisters whom Jesus was so concerned about? To find out who the least of brothers and sisters are, let us look at the reason God led Israel to Canaan. It is common biblical knowledge that God led Israel to Canaan because God made a covenant with Abraham to give the land to him and his descendants. But we should also note that a primary reason behind God sending Israel to Canaan was the sinfulness of the Canaanites. God says in Deuteronomy 9:4, "It is not because of your goodness or your pure hearts that you are going in to take over their land. Instead, it is because of the wickedness of these nations, because of their sinfulness." God continues in Deuteronomy 20, 17 and 18. "You must completely destroy them, otherwise they will teach you to do all the detestable things they do for their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God." What does this mean? God used Israel to punish the Canaanites for their sins. But just don't look at the punishing part of it. Behind God's punishment of the Canaanites lies the fact that God cared for their spiritual condition as God disciplined those whom he loves. Do you know who the Canaanites were? The name Canaan first appears in Genesis 9, long before that Israelite settlement in the Promised Land. Canaan was the son of Ham, one of the 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. They went into the ark with Noah and survived the flood. After the flood, Noah was drunk one day and slept naked in his tent. Ham saw him and told his brothers. When Shem and Japheth heard of it, they walked backward and covered Noah. Noah learned afterwards what Ham had done and cursed Ham's son, Canaan. Genesis 10:15 lists 10 tribes who came from Canaan. Of the 10, 5, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, and Hivites were the natives of the land of Canaan at the time of Israel's entry. So they were mostly the descendant of Canaan, Ham's son. The only tribe living in Canaan that was not descendant of Canaan was the Perizzite, which means at least like more than 80% of the population in the land of Canaan was descended from Canaan, the son of Ham, the son of Noah. Though Canaan and his descendants were cursed by Noah, God was concerned about their spiritual condition. And this is the way that we can look at the entire human race. Everyone on earth is a descendant of Adam and Eve. And this is what a Google search says. You can try the same. And this acknowledges that we came from one human parents. It says, mitochondrial Eve. Genetics have traced the unbroken maternal line of all living humans back to a single common female ancestor using mitochondrial DNA. Similarly, tracing the male Y chromosome leads to a Y chromosomal Adam. We all came from one human parents. Everyone is created in God's image. Because of this, John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. Why did God so love the world? Because everyone on earth was God's creation. That's why that he sent his one and only son to save them. Now, who were the least of his brothers and sisters as Jesus was concerned about? They are a neglected group of people who are spiritually famished out in the world. Jesus gave us the great commission of feeding ministry to nurture those who are spiritually hungry and thirsty for the life-giving bread and still sit in spiritual darkness. God so loved the world and desired that no one perish, but that everyone come to repentance. The churches and believers are accountable for feeding those who have not been fed by the living manna, that is Jesus, and are spiritually famished. At his return, Jesus will ask us whether we have acted responsibly to feed hungry souls with the living word of God. Ezekiel 3:18 says that if we do not warn the world about evil ways, we will be held accountable for the blood of lost souls. 1 Peter 4:17 says, the time is coming that judgment must begin at the house of God for being irresponsible to teach and preach according to God's truth. Isn't that something that we all, as believers and as churches, pay attention to? The judgment will begin from the house of God. You know, as my retirement comes close, I'm more mindful of what I have done. Have I done things correctly? Have I preached God's word? That's my number one task to to fulfill in local churches. If I have led my people to wrong direction, teaching the wrong teachings from this pulpit, and what will God say? According to the Associated Press, on the evening of February 6, 1996, three friends drove the rural road east of Tampa, Florida, with the intent of playing prank. Tragically, their game was anything but funny. They pulled some 20 street signs out of the ground, including stop sign at one fateful intersection. The next day, three 18-year-old buddies who had just finished bowling breezed through that intersection without stopping. Their car sailed into the path of an 8-ton truck. They were all killed. 1 year later, the three perpetrators of the deadly prank were convicted of manslaughter. In June of 1997, they stood in orange jail jumpsuits and handcuffs before a judge in a Tampa courtroom. Weeping and wiping their eyes, they were sentenced to 15 years in prison. It is a dangerous thing with tragic consequences for anyone to take down a signpost on the highway. It is no less dangerous for anyone to vandalize the signpost that God puts on the highway of life. When we honor God's command, we point the way to the signpost of life. If we do not honor God's commandment, we can unwittingly lead others to destruction. All the churches and the believers, so-called the disciples of Jesus, are responsible for providing spiritual food to the spiritually famished world. It is imperative that we preach the truth of the Bible without altering its signpost to life, so that the world may see and hear them and be led to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now would be the time for our offerings, and as you know, there's the plate at the back of the church, or you can take it to the office or mail it in. And we were going to have some special music by David Brown.
Technical difficulties.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are brave, now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose.
stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, and next the victor's song. To those who vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. We and the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Gracious Lord, for the bounty of the earth, for the countless blessing that you have poured out upon us individually and as a church, we thank you. We recognize your grace and your mercy in our lives. And we recognize all that you have done to sustain our lives to this day. So we give you this thanksgiving unto you and ask you to receive it, bless it, for the glory of your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn today is We've a Story to Tell to the Nations, number 569.
We've a story to tell to the nation, dashed on their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall come to dawning, and the dawning to noonday cry, and Christ's grace kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nation that shall live. A song that shall conquer evil. Darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's grace kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Leave a message to give to the nation that the Lord who reigns above. And show us the God is love, for the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's grace kingdom shall come on us, the kingdom of love and light.
Deb shared with me this morning that George from Arkansas, he worshiped with us every Sunday morning. He broke his back and had to be bedridden for like 6 months for the treatment. So please remember George in your prayers. And since Saturday is our national 250 years of anniversary, we are celebrating that next Sunday here. So if you can, please join us on Sunday worship, and I have special present for each and every one of you if you show up. It'll be a good one. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to get together, worship you freely in this free country, the country that you love, that we love, the country that you establish upon the foundation of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. And you have established us as a beacon to the nations. So, Lord, may we continue to proclaim the truth, proclaim your word, so that the world may hear the good news of Jesus and be saved. Empower us, O Lord, as your disciple, that we may be faithful disciples to carry out your truth, the message of salvation to the world, so that through us, people may hear your love and saving truth. So we ask your blessing and your empowerment of your Holy Spirit as we go from this place of worship. Send us forth with your blessing and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love can show you leave. Talk to others, all the world can see. Will be there, watching from above.